of genius.
Real man of genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Athletic Groin Protector Inventor.
Mr. Athletic Groin Protector Inventor.
People love to play sports, but they don't love it when they get hit in the twig and berries.
Oh!
For years, cringing fans watched as man after man went down. But then you came along and said, here, stick this in your pants.
Nice to meet you.
The errant headbutt, the inside fastball, the wayward high five, all no match for your crash helmet.
I'll bring it on.
Sure, some athletes shun them, but don't worry, they'll come around.
Show us the way.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light protector of the package and know that we're just nuts about you. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hello and welcome to week 12, probably the longest week in NFL history, finishing up on Wednesday night. Boy, it's chaos over here when it comes to the pandemic. Next week's going to be similar. Games are running all the way through until I think Tuesday. There's two games Monday. There's a game on Tuesday. I'm going to just briefly go through what happened this week and then jump into the standings and try to make sense of what's going to happen. The Wipeouts 93 defeated the Hamsters 72, and that made a big dent in the playoffs, and we'll get to that. For the Wipeouts, Fitzpatrick was a great sub, got it, did well, and really special teams made the difference with 27. Robbie Anderson was left on the bench. He had some good points, didn't matter. Hamsters, 72. Samuel was good. And Washington, surprisingly, on special teams, not enough. So the Wipeouts defeated the Hamsters, 93-72. The Finns, 210, defeated the Cows, 171. Kind of interesting. I'll get to the Cows in a second. Interesting little situation that's going on. 210, so 26 to Cousins, 40 to Henry, 39 to Brown. He returned an onside kick for a touchdown. Nice job. Jefferson, 25, 13 for Ingram, 18, 4, 23, 22. It was insane. 45 points from special teams. Just insane. And on the bench, Gorman had 15. Davis had 16. Gould had 17. Ravens had 11. No matter how you cut it, they were going to get over 200 points this week, and they defeated the Cows 171. The little interesting thing that I was going to say, obviously Rodgers had 25, Johnson had 16, Ridley had 14, special teams were also good, 36, but Hill had 72. And I had Hill in another league and lost. A friend of mine had Hill in another league, lost. All when Hill was getting 70, somehow, some way. All the teams that I know of that had Hill in them lost. Insane. Costanzas, 80. Defeated the Dockers, 73. Just too little too late, I think, for the Costanzas. We'll get to that. And obviously, as a result of that, it's the worst draft pick, blah, 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 blah. So, Costanzas, 80. Dockers, 73. Not really much to talk about, except Drake bounced back with 20. Parker and Tonya both had 15, 16, respectively. The Blue Mountain Budgies, 135, defeated the Hapless Devils, 67, which I think is kind of their average score for the year. They even win with 67 sometimes. Very nice score, though, 135. Good score for the Budgies. Watson was good. Cooper was good. Robinson was good. For the Devils, Brady was good. Gronk was good. Nobody else was. That is that summary right there. Yeah, interesting. Queens, 127, defeated the Maulers, 75. That has very strong playoff implications, but not a knockout kind of implication. 127 for the Queens, very consistently scoring that. 25 for Robinson, 43 for Fuller. but he was on drugs. He was taking drugs. I don't know whether there's a claim there for the Maulers, but he was taking drugs. And he was taking them all the way up to the 43. And the 171 and two touchdowns were clearly drug enhanced. You take those 40 points off, and the Maulers only lost by 7. So on the Maulers side, Evans was good, Chubb was good. None of those were taking drugs. The Colts clearly weren't taking drugs because they had minus 4 on the bench. Neither team had something crazy good to talk about. Landry 28 for the Queens. Queens will probably now use Landry to fill the Fuller suspension. Right at the end of the season, not always good. Last one we'll talk about before we get into standings and playoff implications. The crowd is 140, defeated the Mudcats 96. Nice effort all round. Mahomes 40 was good. Adams 15 was good. Metcalf's 22 was good. Gibson 36 was good. Still huge problems with special teams for the Crabs. Nothing to pull on the bench. 96 for the Mudcats. End of a pretty good season. Not enough to get him through. We'll talk about that in a second. Montgomery was good, 28. Allen 15 was good. Steelers were good. Yeah, so that is that. That is that for now. So Crabs end up defeating the Mudcats pretty easily in the end. So let's take a look at the league. May get a couple of things wrong because I'm not 100% sure of the tiebreakers. But here's how it looks. Let's just go to the easy ones first. In the East, Crabs are 10-2 and have won the division. At this point, I believe that the Crabs hold the one seed. I say that because I'm just going to quickly just run through for a second the schedule for the Crabs, and let's have a look. It's got league. This is going to be riveting, guys. Riveting podcast while I'm literally clicking buttons and working shit out here, but let's have a look. Okay, so the Crabs, when they played the Queens, they play the Queens this week. Oh my God, that's pretty funny. Okay, so they held the one seed, but it doesn't really matter because they're 8-2 along with the Queens, and the Crabs play the Queens this week. So whoever wins out of the Crabs and the Queens this week will be the number one seed. But both those teams will have a bye in week one. So Costanzas are out. Mudcats are out. Let's go to the North. Another easy one. The Queens, as I said, they've won the division. Currently, they're in the two-seed position, but this will determine that that change because the head-to-head will make the difference. So whoever wins out of the Queens and the Crabs will take the one seed. Maulers and Wipeouts have won both wildcard positions. They're currently 8-4 each. This week does not matter for wildcards. The Wipeouts play the Maulers, which will determine seedings. So, yeah, pretty interesting stuff. Okay, let's go to the more complicated ones. The Finns are 6-6. They play the Dockers this week, and the Cows play the Budgies. And so the Finns have... So if the Finns lose to the Dockers, they'll end up with the same standings. The Cows are out. Cows can't get better than the Finns, and the Finns beat them in the head-to-head. So my belief is that if, let me have a look at the Dockers Finns last matchup. So Dockers, okay, they beat the Finns. So if they beat the Finns this week, they're in the playoffs. They will win the division. So that is a matchup that that's a critical game. Dockers, Finns for the division. Interesting stuff. Cows are gone. All right, in the West, Budgies play the Cows. If the Cows beat the Budgies and the Devils beat the Hamsters, I don't know who wins that division. Aaron's gonna have to do some math there, but the Budgies beat the Devils once, and the Devils beat the Budgies once. I don't know. That one's gonna be tough, but that's an interesting game. So the Devils, Hamsters, very important game. Finns, Dockers, very important game. Yeah, there's some and the Cows, Budgies, big game too. And the Crabs, Queens, and every game this week is gonna have some impact on either the playoff positions, rankings in the playoff positions. And this is what we hope for. This is legitimately fun stuff. How good has it been that we've made it all the way through? Just fantastic that we made it all the way. Really, really good. So, there's a couple of other things to notice. The Devils have scored 898 points in 12 games. Check the stats, that could be the lowest. It's gotta be one of the lowest. To not break 1,000 is pretty legitimate. And the Finns have got the second highest point scored and have lost 6 games. There's some really interesting head-to-heads that have happened this year, that's for sure. Hey guys, it's been a crazy year, crazy season. We've got through it to this point. There's some more weirdness to come, I'm pretty sure. But so far, so good. Stay healthy, everybody. And hopefully at the end of this week, we'll have a playoff season that we can determine the next winner of the Ken Langdon Trophy. Goodbye for now, guys. Have fun.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Putt-Putt Golf Course Designer.
Mr. Putt-Putt Golf Course Designer.
Through the magic of AstroTurf and animatronics, you've taken the time-honored game of golf and made it fun again.
Keep on stroking.
They said a 3-foot putt wasn't a challenge, so you added windmills.
China windmills.
While lesser men wasted time with fairways and sand traps, you had visions of fiberglass volcanoes and giant clown heads.
Clowns freak me out now.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Putt-Putt Golf Course Designer, because you and I know that a round of golf should always, always include Indian teepees.
Mr. Putt-Putt Golf Course Designer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.